Morning, church. So good to see all your lovely faces. As Shannon alluded before, Pastor Tony and Cheryl not here with us this morning because they had a 10th year anniversary at the church in Gateway with Pastor Mark von Blankensee. So they're there celebrating with them and, you know, ministering to them and everything. So they'll be back tomorrow. So you have me for today, which is always awesome, always a privilege and always an honour to actually preach the Word of God to you today. But before we start, I want to just say a couple of prayers. We have some a few sick people, and I don't know, for those of you who know Martha, she's actually in Logan Hospital at the moment. She's in palliative care, and I've been told that she might not last till tomorrow. So I would ask your prayers. I'm going to go up there to, you know, read a scripture to her and just, you know, pray for her. And so we need to pray for that, that the peace of God surrounds the family at this time. We also have Tammy Preslin, which is a part of our congregation here. She's had gallstones problems and she's hopefully going to get operated on today. So that's a big thing. And we have a few other sick people. So I just want us to just unite in prayer now. Lord God, I just thank you, as we sang before, that you are a great God. Lord, nothing is too impossible for you. Lord, so I pray, Father, for Martha right now, Lord Jesus, that her greatest healing is to be with you, God. Father, Lord, I pray for the family to just surround them, Lord, the peace that passes all understanding. The Lord God, that you'll be with her and that you will hold her hand, that everything will be okay. So, Lord Jesus, I pray for your peace. I pray for your peace for the family. In Jesus' name, and also for Tammy, Lord God, and anyone else who is not well, Lord God, I pray for your goodness and your grace to just be evident in their lives, Lord Jesus. And I thank you that you are our healing God and you are a great God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, for some reason, my iPad just kind of had a glitch. So it's funny how technology relies so much on technology. And so I have this big folder. It's like an iPad, but it's old school. So, you know, it's funny how you just get used to this kind of miniature sort of thing, but it's still the Word of God, so I don't mind just doing that. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Marichelle and I'm part of the team here, and I'm so glad to be with you today. So when I was praying to God, I said, God, what do you want me to speak on? And I just felt impressed by him to say, go back to basics. Okay? What's basic? You know, basic is about, talk about my greatness. I said, okay, talk about your greatness. And he wanted me to share with you his greatness, his goodness, and his grace today. Because I think, you know, sometimes we get lost in God's, you know, attributes sometimes when life deals with us something that's not really good. So we go, okay, well, where's God now? Is he a great God? Is he good? And where's his grace? So, you know, we sang before the song, you know, how great is our God. And I wonder today if we really believe what we sang. I wonder today if the very words that you utter about how great God is that you really live by that? Do you really believe what you're singing? Sometimes we sing these words and God, you are my Savior and you are, you know, you alone are good and, you know, my heart is overcome. But do we really believe what we're singing about? Do we really believe how great God is? And so I want to encourage you today. So today I felt to ask three people to help me preach the Word of God today. Because sometimes You know, it's easy for me to stand up here and declare the goodness, the greatness and the grace of God, but I want it to be real for you today. So can those three people that I've asked just come on stage with me right now, and I want them to share a God story about the greatness, the goodness and the grace of God in their life. So I have Pauline, I have Rachel and I have TJ. So they're just going to share a short version, couple of minutes, that talks about the goodness. Can I have the microphone, please? The goodness, the greatness, and the grace of God in their life. So over to you, Pauline.
Good morning, everyone. When Marichal asked me to do this, I have so many stories about the goodness and the greatness of God. I thought, which one will I choose? And I thought the one that probably impacted me more than anything else was, sorry, about my mum. I'm an only child, so my mum was very, very special to me. She was my best friend. And I moved her up from Sydney to live with me back in about 2001 or 2000. And mum, when she arrived up here, she had an operation and ended up getting dementia, which is not a nice thing. And so I kept, you know, praying to God, please, Lord, heal my mum. But, you know, he has a plan and he does everything in his time. So I cared for my mum for 7 years at home, worked full time. I had support care coming in. But God was with me through that whole time. And the thing, the biggest miracle, it's any of you who know about dementia, my mum never forgot who I was. She lost everything else. But she never forgot who I was. She never forgot who my children were. She never forgot who my friends were. And that was just the grace and the goodness of God beyond measure. And another wonderful thing that happened was, and I just praise God for this. My mum loved me. She was, you know, a wonderful mum. But she never actually came out and said, I love you. And one night in hospital, she was in there for 3 months and I visited every day. And I was going home and I said, as I did every night before I left, love you, Mum. And all of a sudden she just looked at me and she said, and I love you too, Pauline. And that was just unbelievable. And I just praise God for giving me that incredible grace and mercy and wonderful memories through a very difficult time in my life. God is good, God is great, and God is gracious to us all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Pauline. That's beautiful. Great.
Okay, you'll need to forgive me because I will need to use my notes. You've all heard the saying, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. That's because no matter what, goodness is just, his goodness just shines through. Super quick recap. My husband Tyler had an emotional breakdown in October 2015 and quit his $73,000 a year job. Since then, my family has been on a roller coaster of unemployment, debt, relationship struggles, and depression, just to name a few. Prior to October 2015, we weren't in a church, and God was someone we knew, but not the centre of our lives. We've been on a journey of waiting and praying on full-time work that, to this day, still hasn't come. When Maz asked me if I would get up and speak today on the topic of God's greatness, goodness, and grace, I wondered what I would say. It's like that song, Come Alive. When I think about your goodness, my heart is overcome. You see, I'm in a pretty unique position. I am still under a circumstance. Our breakthrough has still not come. But I can tell you God's delay has come with many blessings and surprises not even we could have hoped for. But how do I articulate God's goodness? And can I even? I could stand here all day and share with you how God's grace and favour has fallen on us over and over and over again for the last 3 years. Like how many, for many months, $600 would show up just to meet our monthly need. Or how when I didn't have fuel, a fuel card would be waiting on my desk at work. Or how food turned up at my door. But God's goodness is so much more than what he does or the blessing he has given us. For 3 years, I've felt God draw closer to me. I've felt his hand, I've heard his whisper, and throughout this season, he's been so, so faithful. His love and his presence has been unwavering. Let me be real. Have there been days where I've questioned his plan? Yep. Have there been moments on my knees begging him to change my circumstance? Absolutely. But it's in those tender moments he has revealed his goodness even more. Mm-hmm. On days where I've questioned and whinged, I've still seen his power and grace. When I have least deserved it, his goodness has chased me down. God's delay has given me a new song to sing and a story to share. It's called Us Higher and Deeper. My family has been set onto a path we didn't know existed, including being planted in church. Tyler and the kids have been baptised. Our kids are coming in leaps and bounds despite the struggles at home. And Tyler is now enrolled into a university degree he didn't even know he wanted to do. I'm amazed that this was obviously his plan all along, and all his nodes led us to this point. Just this last week, I had a car accident, and we're currently waiting to hear if my car is written off. 3 years ago, this would have shattered me. But throughout the season, I've been able to trust in God's goodness because without fail, he's shown up all the time. Mm. Good is more than what he has done. It's who he is. He has been my strength, my refuge, and the constant in my life of chaos. It's through his greatness, his might, and his power I stand in front of you today, and all to his glory.
Fantastic. TJ is our...
Probably much like these guys, there's so much that you can talk about God's constant grace and goodness and greatness in your life. So I tried to narrow it down to a couple things. About a year, just under a year, I struggled really severely with depression. I was medically diagnosed as depressed. And, it was a fairly constant struggle every day. I was fully aware that I was, and I wasn't doing anything about it. Doesn't mean the thought wasn't there. I remember thinking to myself one Sunday, I actually left here and didn't go home and just went, I can't go anywhere, I need to just keep driving. And it came to about 5 o'clock, and I thought, no, I've got to head to a church. So I shooted my way up to a church that I knew had a night service, and on the way there, looked at the side of the road, and there was a tree, and I thought, I could do it. And decided not to. Went to church because I knew God didn't have that plan for my life. He had a better plan for my life. And I think through that whole period, I don't know how he did it, because he must have planned this years and years in advance, but he actually brought someone into my life that was able to counsel me and come alongside me and help me through a lot of things. And I was able to talk to them, and they were able to sort of spot me through the whole thing. That's such a God thing. There's no way that someone could align so closely to you in a period like that without, you know, having God's hand be in the situation from long before you even were. So there's that by grace I came out of the other side of that, and you know that isn't in my life anymore, which is pretty amazing. The other one probably isn't as heavy, but I was in a car accident as well on Beaudesert Road, if anybody knows that, and aquaplaned in the wet up the back of a Mercedes, which was sick at 80 k's an hour, so that was really fun. Wouldn't recommend, but you know, if you've done it, you know what I'm talking about. And it's expensive, especially when insurance says we're not going to cover you. So I got stuck with a whole bunch of debt, and I was a uni student, I was on Centrelink at the time, I didn't know what to do, I was like, oh my gosh. So I went through, did manual claims form, went through this whole process, and they were just like, nah, we're not going to cover you. So for 2 years, I was just repaying this debt. And then one day I get a call from RACQ, and I was like, what's going on? And they basically said, look, we should have covered you in the start. We don't know what happened. There was a error in some of the letter, and we're going to cover you now. So it was about 13K worth of debt, and probably about 12K worth of debt. And they said, look, let's calculate how much you've paid back. We're going to go to the insurance companies, figure out how much you've paid. If it's more than what your XX should have been, we're going to pay you back. So I actually got rid of all the debt and got like $2,500 back, which was amazing. So that's such a good thing. So, yeah, that's a couple
things. That's awesome. Give these guys a hand. Now, if that is not greatness, if that is not goodness, and if that is not grace, then what is it? I asked God, I prayed about who the people are to come today, and I got these faces because they have something to say. They have something to declare about the greatness and goodness of God. And I'm sure that if I've given you the microphone, that you will have something to say as well. And I believe God is just wanting us to be reminded of His goodness, of His greatness. I mean, you don't know. I didn't know half of this story. Did you know about the story of these people? No. But God does. And that is why we give God the glory. You know, I did this so that in their story, in their moment, you will be encouraged. That it is easy for us to judge people, you know, in the face value, and it's easy for us to judge God because it's something we didn't think He should do or could do. But God will not be contained. God is not a God that we can put Him in a box. God is great, God is good, and God is gracious towards us. And you know, for all the people that have stood here this morning, you know, I want to just say to you that God is not a millennial God. God is not a generation X, Y, Z, or whatever letter you want to put Him on after that. But He's a generational God, which means that His greatness, His goodness, and His grace will be outworked through all of you. You will not, you know, you probably don't sometimes know what's happening, but God's grace is towards you all the time. We might say, well, what's happening here? And we go, there's not, like, we can't see. God's greatness cannot be fathomed. You know, there's a story in the Bible in Judges, the book of Judges 8:34, after Gideon's death. And I would encourage you to read that, the story about that and how, you know, the Midianites suppressed the Israelites and were delivered under the leadership of Gideon. And no sooner when Gideon died, Israelites began to go back to their old ways. So in Judges 8:34, it says, as soon as Gideon died, the Israelites prostituted themselves by worshipping the image of Baal, making Baal-berith their god. They said they forgot the Lord their God, who had rescued them from all their enemies surrounding them. They forgot. Some commentary said they forgot Him and forsook Him, which showed a base of ingratitude. You know, it will be a sad thing for us as a church or a generation where we forget or no longer remember the greatness, the goodness, and the grace of God in our lives. That what He has bestowed upon us, it'll be a sad thing when you forget that God has done what God has done for you. This is why I brought the three people up, so it's become real for you today. Because it's easy for me to just stand here and declare the goodness. I'm one person. But for all the people, the three people that came up today, that would give you an encouragement, food for your soul. It is important to declare His greatness, His goodness, and His grace. You know, there's something powerful about declaration. In Exodus 3:15, God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me this to you. This is my name forever. I am to be remembered throughout all generations. It's not just this generation, but throughout all generations. You don't have to try and explain, and sometimes people want to ask you questions and trick you up and say, oh, well, what do you think about what God is? But the power is not in the explanation, church. The power is in your declaration. So open your mouth and declare His goodness and greatness and grace towards your life. Parents, be an example to your kids around the dinner table. Just when you're talking, you know, declare to them the greatness and goodness of God. You know, this week I've asked the two girls, and I asked them, well, how's God been great to you? Or how's God's goodness? How is He good to you? And so Gabriella says to me, oh, you know, he helped me with 3 tests. It was so, so hard, but he helped me with my test. And then Hannah as well said, oh, he helped me with this mathematics thing. And because they've been quite sick this week as well. And they just went to school and they didn't know they had tests that day. And so God helped them. And so such a young age, you know, I want them to utter and declare that God has been good to them. You know, sometimes it's easy to murmur and declare the things that God didn't do because, you know, we put them in an expectation box. But what if he didn't meet your expectations because he wants to exceed them? Youth, remember the time when you're in hot water and you've asked God to kind of save you or, you know, do something and, you know, he delivered you from that? It says in Ecclesiastes 12:1, honor. I believe you guys in youth are talking about honor. Honor and enjoy your Creator while you're still young. While you're still young. Because there comes a day where you won't have the strength anymore, where your eyes will not see and you have nothing. So remember while you're still young. You know, the time when you actually ask God, save me from this and I'll serve you. I remember those days when I was in youth. I remember the time when I was actually Del's daughter, as a Catherine, and we were at the ocean trying to swim away and everything like that, and she got caught in a rip and she was just going down and down. And you heard this story, Pauline? And me, I can't swim for peanuts. Like, I just drown like a shallow end. And so, you know, I can't save her. But, you know, God's great and goodness, like, he just pulled her out of that riff. And it was such a scary moment. You know, it was a scary moment. And I couldn't remember that time. I think we were all passed out after that. But, you know, that is the greatness of God. The greatness of God. In Psalm 145, I have 3 points for you today. It says, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day. Church, say with me, every day.
Every day.
It's not once a year. It's not once every fortnight. It's not once a week. It's every day. I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. You know, there's another powerful story in the Bible about God parting the Red Sea. Do you know that story? And Moses holds out his staff because that's what he was in his hand. And the Red Sea is parted by God. The Israelites walk on dry ground and cross the sea, followed by the Egyptian army. Once the Israelites have safely crossed, Moses lifts his arms again and the sea closed and the Egyptians are drowned. There's a powerful principle that we must take here today, church, is that whatever's in your hand, whatever Red Sea is that rises up to threaten you and to drown you will be parted by God. Just lift up what's on your hand. You know what's in your hand? The Word of God, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. That's what's in your hand. Use it. Declare it. Declare the promises that God has given you. And don't give way to the things that are surrounding you. You will walk on dry ground and cross the sea. And whoever and whatever is setting you up to drown, they will drown because God is great. You know, we serve a great God, a God who wants to do great things. We serve not only that, but he wants to do great things for us, for this church, for your family, for us individually. You know, a God that is good to us, a God that is gracious towards us. God is wanting us to have a revelation of who he is. And I believe God is wanting to reveal to you his greatness over your life, his goodness and his grace. This is the moment where God can just drop something in your heart. And I'm going to reveal my greatness towards you. Because You need to remember. You need to remember. Because if you have a revelation of who he is, then you will know who you are. Let's quit, stop trying to think about how do we know ourselves, but let's focus on knowing who God is. Because when you know who he is, you will know who you are. This is the greatness of God. He's the sustainer of the universe. We do not define God. He is self-defined. He is self-revealing. He is not affected or limited by circumstances. He's incomprehensible, meaning you just when you think you can understand, you can't. You know, God's one step ahead of you. He's incorruptible, which means because he is holy and eternal. And he's incomparable, which means no one is like him. God is so great that he cannot be compared to anything or anyone else. He created everything in existence. He is far superior to those creation. He is bigger in a sense that he cannot be confined by time and space. So God doesn't have to explain himself to anybody. God just reveals himself to us. God is bigger and greater on the show and tell. And that's why he showed up and parted the Red Sea. No one's talking about it, so he just parted it. I'm going to save you. I'm going to deliver you. Psalm 71:19, it says, "Your righteousness, O God, reaches to the highest heavens. You have done such wonderful things. Who can compare with you, God?" I want to encourage you today, church, never lose sight of God's greatness. Although we may feel small because of what life throws at us, we have a big God. We have a great God. Is this helping anyone today? Let me remind you, in 1 John 4:4, it says, "Greater is he that's in you than he who's in the world." I'm going to talk about the second thing, the goodness of God. The goodness of God and the attributes of God, as well as the description, that's his very essence, his goodness. God by nature is inherently good. Psalm 34:8 tells us, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he who take refuge in him." Obviously, we all eat food, and sometimes when you see something, you go, "Oh, that won't taste very well." Like, I'm thinking, I was just looking at Marissa and thing, because, you know, it's Filipino independence thing that's happening somewhere in Rockley today, and sometimes the food Filipinos have, they have weird, like, look. But, oh my goodness, it actually tastes really good. So that's just an aside, because I'm such a foodie, but I'm just saying, taste and see. Do you know, when you see God, you just think, yeah, whatever, he's a distant God. But once you taste his goodness and his greatness in your life, you won't want to come back. He's the foundation of goodness and of everything good. He did not obtain it from another source. People can have good traits. You know, we can have good traits and we do good deeds, but goodness is really not in our character. God alone is good. We have a relative goodness, a situational goodness, but God's goodness is absolute. And God's goodness is based on an everlasting covenant. Jeremiah 32:40, it says, "I will make an everlasting covenant with them." Who's with them? That's you. That's all of you. "And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them." In some version it says, "I will not turn away from doing good to them." You know, when God makes a promise or a covenant, he keeps his word. Have you ever had someone promise something to you and then they just go and turn around and say, "Oh, sorry. I didn't say that." "Yes, you did." "Oh, well, sorry, I just changed my mind." Well, when God promises something to you, it is absolute. He will keep his word. It's a covenant. God's goodness is promise based not performance-based. So really need to think about this, you know. God's goodness doesn't depend because of what, who we are. We need to understand and embrace this truth. You know, we live in a society, in a world, a generation where it's always approval, or you got to do this, or you to perform properly when you do an audition, when you do a driving test, or when you, you know, go for a job interview. There's got to be a certain approval that you go through and do that and see whether you can get picked. You know, we're conditioned to understand that approval is based on performance. Does anybody here watch The Voice? The Voice? So there's this blind audition, and then there's four chairs turning around, and so whether they hear, they would approve of your voice. Well, let me tell you, God's turned. God's chair is already turned towards you. You don't have to wait for one, two, three. The chair has been turned for you. His face turns towards you. Why? Because of what Jesus has already done on the cross. Because when he sees your face, he sees the finished work of the cross. He sees the finished work of what his son did for you and I. You don't need to strive to be good. You can't. Because the good has already been done. We need to be reminded that God's nature is good. He is good and does good things. Gospel is good news. God gives good gifts. James 1:17 in the Amplified Version, it says, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, the Creator and Sustainer of the heavens, in whom there is no variation, no rising or setting, or shadow cast by his turning, for he is a perfect and he never changes." Psalm 145, 9. "The Lord is good to everyone." Can you imagine that? The Lord is good to everyone. Sometimes, you know, if I was God, and I'm so thankful I'm not, I'm like, no, you don't deserve that. No, not sorry. But God is good to everyone. He makes the rain fall on good and not so good people. He's good to everyone. Psalm 119:68, it says, "You are good and do only good. Teach me your principles." Psalm 23:6, one of my favorite psalms, it says, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Can you declare that to your church? Can you declare that over your family? Can you declare that over your marriage or your kids? Surely goodness and mercy will follow them all the days of their life, and they will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a promise. That's a covenant from God to you. I wonder, when is the last time you thank God for his goodness? You know, he's a good, good father. We know that God is merciful. He's slow to anger, gracious, abounding in love. It's that's very essence of who, of what goodness is. When I think about his goodness, my heart is overcome. And I'm sure you've heard the phrase that says, "God is good," and all the time, God is good. And that's consistent with the scripture. And there's another thing that Christians tend to say. "Wow, isn't God good?" Have you heard that? We say that a lot. God is good. Isn't God good? When we hear the reports of people, especially when we hear them being spared from the doom and gloom, we say, "Oh, isn't God good?" Some examples, you know, when we hear of the reports, "Oh, that they missed a 12-car pile-up, isn't God good?" The doctor's report is clear, "Oh, isn't God good?" "When God spared my life in that gunshot, isn't God good?" Yes, I always say God is good, absolutely good. But my question for us today is, is this why God is good? If God hadn't spared my life, would God still be good? If God didn't spare your life and save you from that pit or on that trouble, would God still be good? TJ, would God still be good? Absolutely. Rachel, would God still be good? Pauline, would God still be good? Absolutely, because there are some people that don't quite make it. I stand here before you today. My sister-in-law is battling 5 years of stage 4 cancer, but God is still good. You know, she's been given a diagnosis that she will not last, but God is still good, and we're still praying for a miracle. But do I just wallow in that and go, yeah, well, you know, that's just, she's 45 in July. But with your prayers, she's still being held up. So thank you. Because here's the thing. For as many stories there are where people escape doom and gloom, there are stories that we have not heard that didn't make it. But we have got to stop talking about his goodness as if when an unexpectedly pleasant thing happens, because God's goodness is not dependent on an outcome. Yeah? It's not dependent on an emotion or barely missed story. God is not good because we avoid danger. Let me tell you. God is good because when the storms of life hit, he comes closer to us than the storm ever could. He holds us in his loving arms. He doesn't change. He doesn't falter. He doesn't quit. He doesn't go leaving us like what other people do. Just because they don't feel good, they will leave. God is not like that. He has a covenant with us. He has a promise that he will never leave us or forsake us. And no matter what, he will never let go. You know, the thing I can't walk away from the Bible is this, that it doesn't just say that God does good things. It says that God is good. It's not just what he does, it is who he is. And who he is never changes. And this is why I can say with an absolute confidence that God is good. He is closer to us than ever before. God is just as good to all the circumstances, sicknesses and crises that people experience and find themselves in. So isn't God good? Yes. The answer is always a resounding yes, God is good. Psalm 27:3, it says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The goodness of God is something to always hold on to. If you lose sight of it, you will lose heart, which leads me into the final point, the grace of God. The grace of God flows from his goodness because God is full of good. He is full of grace. You know, there's a story in the Bible again, and I try to weave these things into a story so that it's relevant for you. The prodigal son, he lost heart. If you know the story, he asked his father, like, give me my wealth. You know, he squandered his wealth he got into a position and posture that was not really good. You know, he squandered his wealth in wild living. I wonder what wild living is in those days. Just picture this scenario. And his world and his just got reduced and reduced. You know, there was a thing that says, in my father's house, he could eat what he wanted. He had clothes, he had friends, he had all the benefits in that house. In the father's house, we eat the pigs. We don't eat them. We don't eat with them. But he remembered. He remembered God's grace. In Luke 15:17, it amplifies this. But when he finally came to his senses, so he remembered. He remembered. He said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough food while I am dying here of hunger? I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against you, against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Just treat me like one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, His father saw him and was moved with compassion for him, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. What grace! What grace! You know, sometimes I get myself in a position where, you know, the kids, you know, do the wrong thing. And I just go, you know what, you are grounded. That's it. I will take that off you for a month. You know, their iPod and all these things that are, they, you know, their pride and joy. I'm just so strict with them because they don't remember that they have it good. They just think, oh, yeah, I'll just eat this food and I'll just lay in the couch and don't wash my dishes, all that sort of stuff. No, 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 no. You do what you need to do. You know, we are a team and we're a family. I'm not your slave. You know, I'm not your maid. You know? But this is the thing. God has compassion. And sometimes I feel, God, if you had compassion on people, I wonder, you need to grow this compassion in my heart a bit more. Grace is the epitome of it all. God's grace is the collision of God's greatness and goodness coming to your crisis. Are you in a crisis right now? Well, God's greatness and goodness will collide with that. God is always running towards you. He is never running away from you. His heart is for you. And when the prodigal son came home, he didn't hesitate. The father held nothing back. He threw a party. He reinstated him. And that's what God is wanting to do with us today. Can the worship team come up, please, as they start to play some beautiful music as the ambience of this, as I land the plane of this sermon. God's face is turned to you. You know, there's three things that God, that the father gave him when the prodigal son came back. Three things. And I think and I believe that God is wanting to give you that same thing today. The best robe. Put it on him. This is a robe of righteousness. It is a robe of favor. It is a robe of many colors. In March, each prodigal that returns as the favored son, each is special to the Father. And when you come to God, you are immediately clothed in his righteousness. You're no longer naked. And the filthy rags of your own attempts at righteousness are no longer necessary. The second thing that the prodigal son received was the ring. And this ring is a sign of a covenant. Like I said before, you know, we have a covenant with God. Now that you have been made righteous, you can start living like you are in a covenant with God. He's now your partner and your source. He's now your protector and strength. You have a covenant that cannot be broken by any external force. He is yours and you are his. The shoes on his feet, the third thing, it's a sign of the journey. You have received righteousness and come into a covenant. Now you must walk this relationship out. This is where many miss the mark. You know, they just think, okay, well, let me come back, and then they just never follow through the journey. The journey is one that needs to be followed through. And God's going to be there for you no matter what. He will hold you by his righteous right hand. The thought is this. Can we all stand, please? That God's got you covered. Wherever you are right now, God's got you covered. He will not hesitate. He will reinstate. He will give you the best robe, the best ring, the best party, the best shoes, because he loves you. I don't know where you are at right now, but while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want to give an invitation to those of you who can relate to the prodigal son, that just as he asked the Father to give him of his inheritance, that he squandered his wealth and went into wild living. I wonder if you're in a position, or you've got yourself in a position where your heart has been lukewarmed, that you've actually turned away, that you've actually just thought, you know what, I can do it in my own strength. God's calling you back. God is wanting to, for you to remember your Creator. You know, there's a song that I was singing this week, and a song that says, "Where would I be if not for your grace, carrying me in every season?" You know, whatever season you are in, whatever moment you are in, you find yourself in, God is close. God is ever so close, because He loves you. He would come to your rescue. I'm going to open the altar this morning, and whoever of you want to come, just come and be ministered to by God. You don't need any other people to come, but if you want to specifically pray for, then we will come and do that. But I'm going to open the altar this morning as we sing and declare the greatness, the goodness, and the grace of God, because I think we need to go back to basics, church. We need to go back to where our roots came from. That without Him, we are nothing. Without God on our side, we'll be meandering and we'll be going off everywhere and here and there and everywhere. But God is wanting to be close to you. Don't take for granted what He's already done. He says, "He who began a good work in you shall continue it till the end of the age." That means if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, yes, there is crisis. Yes, there is trouble. Yes, there is things that we can't control. But God is for you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He has a covenant. He has a promise that He has given you. And so this morning, I want you to come and just maybe just get your heart right with God again. Get your heart right and say, "God, I'm here to just want to remember. I want to remember your goodness. I want to remember your grace. I want to remember your greatness over my life." So let's sing this song.
Splendor of the King.